2 and 3 are combined hearing. Item 2 is a zoning agreement amendment at 1210 to 1220 Chamberlain Avenue under file ZAA-12 of 2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, it's a combined hearing and the following will also be heard at the same time. Public hearing 3 is a rezoning for the same premises under file DAZ-223 of 2013.
Okay, thank you, Madam Clerk. Okay, the I've got in my hand here people in support. When I call your name, if you come up to speak, or just say you're in support. Jeff Sawina, Sawina,
yes.
Wish to speak?
I wanted to give a little bit.
Okay, yeah, come to the front. You have 10 minutes. State your name and address for the record, please.
I do have some images too, but
okay.
That's okay. I can proceed without. My name is Jeff Sawina. I'm Vice President of Design and Construction at GEM Equities, and I'm here on behalf of GEM Equities and Andrew Marquis, and just to give a little bit of background about the project a little bit more. And to put some context to the application. Terra Commons, which was McPhillips Commons, is a development located between Troy and Chamberlain Avenue, west of McPhillips. The site was purchased in 2007, which consisted of low-income rental housing with a small internalized park facing a back lane that was underutilized. The owner bought the surplus land of the old park to consolidate the property for new high-quality density infill development, but would replace the park with a new upgraded park with more accessibility at a highly visible location. There were multiple phases to the apartment project to provide renovated and new buildings, code-compliant buildings with a new updated look. And here there was a slide that would show of some of the new buildings that were there. But so the first phase was the redevelopment of existing apartment blocks, which was done in late 2007. And that included interior and exterior renovations of the buildings. The next part was the conversion of two of the old two-story row houses that dominated the site into three-story stacked townhomes, and construction began in 2008, and about 200 of them are occupied to this day. The third and final area is the addition of six new infill buildings, townhouses on site, and preliminary with preliminary drawings that were prepared in 2008. It's with regards to two of these that affect the site in question today. A site plan was submitted in 2007 and 8 to show the proposed new configuration of the site, with the development of the new community park provided by the developer on private land to replace the existing park, which was purchased from the city. The new park would have approximately 20,000 square feet of space, with frontage on Chamberlain Avenue providing a more visible space and accessible to the community. New playground equipment and landscape would be provided, which would enhance the play area. Economic and financial decisions changed in 2010 to convert the entire rental project into a condo development due to the high degree of interest to the owner occupied. Finishes were changed and upgraded throughout. After determining what would sell on site, modifications were made to the plan footprint to two of the new buildings on 1210 and 1220 Chamberlain to take a bit more space to the north. In April of 2012, we submitted final drawings for foundation permits of the two new buildings on the site, showing the final plan as required, which we thought was in compliance with council decision on the previous rezoning application. It took a long time to get building permits issued through the process. In late May of 2010, City of Winnipeg identified an egress issue with these two buildings, for instance. The city and the consultants and an independent third-party code consultant that we hired as well to review the issues over the next 4 months, and we still couldn't come to a mutual resolution. So in October of 2012, we went to an appeal hearing to the Winnipeg Building Commission, which determined our interpretation of the egress code was acceptable. In late October of 2012, city zoning identified that a park planner had an issue with the building locations and park, previously parcel B, even though our plan was submitted over 6 months previously. The design of 1210 and 1220 Chamberlain were a big issue for us because we took it all the way to the Winnipeg Building Commission. And we just wondered if the city had issues with anything else, like the building placement, we thought it would have been brought up well before the Winnipeg Building Commission review. After that, we went into discussion with the city to resolve the encroachment on our own property. The spring and summer of 2013 talked about possible solutions with the city, but there was nothing we agreed on. The conclusion was, in the fall of 2013, came up with a solution that is included in today's proposal. To change the boundaries of the park, we will continue to build and provide a park space and amenities to that to have the same square foot area as the original proposal, around 20,000 square feet, with play structures and all the amenities that we had proposed in the earlier proposition as well. The zoning of the park will change from a PR1 designation to multifamily residential. And the $100,000 bond in the form of cash that was originally posted will be used by the city to invest in the park facilities within the community. That's what I have for my background of the presentation.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Smith. We have a question, Councillor Eadie.
So, to this point, though, no play structures or anything have been built in the park yet?
Nothing right now, no.
What is it currently being used, that space?
The park is just it's a staging area right now. The whole site, since 2007, had been under construction of various buildings and stages. All the buildings along Troy are completed and occupied. On the Chamberlain side, there are one, two, three, four. Four of the six buildings are complete. So I think the corners of the site, the eastern lots and the western lots, those portions and the parking lots, those are occupied. But the middle of the site, that's where the construction is underway, is concentrated right now.
So the park is being used for a staging area.
It's not a park right now.
Well, will be a park,
right.
And so is part of that agreement that you're using this as you're probably using it, are you, to restore it to a level that it would be like the landscaping to the point it would be a park, and the $100,000 is to pay for play structure and other amenities?
Well, I'm not sure in the new proposal. In the previous proposal, we were providing all of that, play structures and such, and we still are going to be doing that. Just also to give a little bit more background, where the park was proposed to be, there was a building on that site, Building T, we call it, and that one had to be demolished. And so that was demolished a couple of years ago. So this location, it wasn't a park. The park previously was to the back lane, to the south of where this is. But we still, I'm not sure in this final proposal, I haven't read it all through completely, but I think somebody else can speak afterwards maybe and clarify a little bit more from our group here. But we will still be providing play space for the community of the development itself. There will be swings, play structures.
But you're not proposing to only use the $100,000 bond to do that?
I think I need some. No. Okay. That will be out of. Yes, no. That's, we'll be providing that on our own.
Okay.
Over and above that. Sorry.
Mr. Zwina. So then what happened with the zoning agreement that was signed back in December of 2007 between your company and the City of Winnipeg for to develop that park?
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's an interpretation issue about the final plan and what was accepted. And for the two buildings, 1210 and 1220 Chamberlain, the footprints of the building at one point were shown a little bit smaller. And then after we, like I had said, once we determined about going into turning them into condominiums and three-bedroom condominiums, we needed a little bit more room for those as well. So The plan that we submitted when we in April of 2012, which is when we were applying for our permits at that point, we were under the impression that that's the final plan in terms of what would be accepted, because before that, and this is, I guess it's just maybe on our part a misinformation, before that the buildings were just schematically designed, so they were square or rectangles of boxes. So the land was all within this owner's property. Part of it was designated, even though it had a PR designation, it was still private property of his, that we were still to build a park on that space. We still will be building a park on that space of the same footprint. We have the same frontage along Chamberlain. I think it was 240 feet that it was supposed to be. We're still keeping that 240 feet. It's just a little bit narrower, and then it will come down into the shape of a T down between the buildings as well.
Okay, and then just your explanation relative to the building upon the subject lands without permits.
Well, the...
No, there's...
You'll get an opportunity here to come up if you've signed in. Have you signed in?
Yeah. Sure. I can try to answer that the best that I can. That we had submitted permits in April. We went through this process for foundation permit. And about 6 months afterwards, after we had come to a resolution on the Winnipeg Building Commission, that we were under the understanding that everything had been approved at that point, so foundations had begun at that point.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? We'll ask you to stand down. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Next up is Mr. Andrew Marquez.
Good afternoon, and state your name and address for the record, because we're digitally recording.
Sandra Marquez, 521 Bauer Boulevard. Sorry, Councillor Pactahan, I thought I could give a little more clarity maybe than Jeff Zawina could in answering that. Essentially, yeah, I was the person that signed the original zoning agreement and zoning bylaw. I think everything Jeff said is factual, but to add a little more color to the proceedings in the various time points. When, as Jeff said, this was a multi-phase plan, and the two buildings in question were the last two buildings that we were constructing on the site. In April of 2012, when we submitted the building plans, there was a we brought a little PowerPoint presentation, but essentially there was a site plan that showed the exact location of the buildings, and there was the reconfiguration of the park, and that was done in the April submission to plan exam. And when we submitted that at plan exam, certainly in our minds, that was the final plan to be submitted as per the council minutes of December 19th of 2007. So when we heard nothing back from plan exam or zoning as we were moving forward in talking about these two buildings, the one issue that came up was egress. And that was something that between our architect and plan exam department, there wasn't a resolution on what essentially which side was right. So when we moved forward, it looked like we were at a stalemate, and then we moved forward to, it was a suggestion actually by the city department itself, said, why don't we go to the Winnipeg Building Commission to try and sort this out, which we did. And that was, in our minds, was going to be a very definitive answer on all things related to the construction of these two buildings. And we had that hearing, as Jeff Zawina had mentioned, in, I think it was late October, of which we moved through the egress issue, and not understanding that there was a zoning issue, because we had given the final plan in with the building permit at April of 2012. So afterwards, of course, there was the hey from zoning, hey, I think we have an issue here as far as what the park side went. So I think it was a case of, I guess, obviously misunderstanding on our part, and some miscommunication, and was where it was at. So it was regrettable that there was that miscommunication in that period of literally 6 months or so, that between when we started talking with the city and we went to the Winnipeg Building Commission, that this issue never came up.
Thank you. Any questions of the delegation?
If I could, for Councillor Reedy, if I could just comment a little bit about the concept of the park, the and your question about staging and construction. The park was always going to be the last thing that was going to be constructed in the development. And as per Mr. Zuina's comments about the location of it is, we deconstructed a building and in fact demolished a building where the park was supposed to go. So currently in that area is the staging zone, and it was the last thing to be developed. So it will come to be once all the construction's done, and on the pace of where we're at, the construction looks like it'll be wrapped up around middle of May to middle of June on the site. And these are the last two buildings in question to be constructed.
And you're undertaking all the work to create that park, right?
Correct. And I've just saw the administrative report, but the playground structures and everything we were going to do is, in our minds, we're not doing anything more or less than what we were originally going to do under the original agreement. So that money is coming out of our pocket to provide those play structures.
Which was the original agreement, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Okay. Thank you. Last to stand down. Is it Don?
Dom?
Tigliano? Sorry. Do you wish to speak?
No, I don't. I'm in support.
Okay. Anyone else in support that wishes to speak on this matter? Okay, we'll move on to...
There isn't anyone else registered, so...
Okay, nobody else registered? Nobody in opposition to the matter? In opposition? For information? Okay. Members, we can ask our administration some questions. I guess I'll ask the administration with respect to the zoning agreement, and we heard a sort of a recollection from the applicant here. What's the city's position relative to the zoning agreement and where things are at right now?
For this specific application?
Correct.
So because those clauses relate to the park in the zoning agreement, we're just recommending that they be removed because the buildings are established on that park space. And there was discussions early on, and I wasn't involved in this original rezoning application, but from what I've heard from the parks people, there was discussion about it being a T-shaped park, that the developer had proposed that, and the city parks people did not want that because it would be space that was between two buildings, which would, you have to provide a separation space between buildings anyway, but that it would be seen as more private space and not as open to the community. So that the dimensions or the configuration of the park was deliberate. So I think the parks, speaking with the parks planners or speaking for them, I think they would say that the introduction of the buildings on the land has sort of defeated in their minds how the park would operate. So I think they would just rather use resources elsewhere in the community for park services.
In other words, just leave that completely? Just leave it empty?
Or the space wants to build play structures for their, for the occupants, that's fine. But again, another issue is that this is now a condo, so there's going to be condo corporations, and there's decisions have to be made with, with the votes and things like that. So I don't think there's really any guarantee that if we wanted this to be a public park space, that in reality it would actually
so these
serve as a
two new buildings park. Make it look like a private park again, or like a private.
Yeah. Okay.
So help me out. Help me out and understand. So. In the original agreement, there was a $100,000 bond put up?
In the rezoning, there was. It basically said, for just to paraphrase, developer provide the city $100,000. When you build the park, as on parcel B, then we'll refund your monies.
50% of it.
So what the parks people are saying now is they want to utilize that $100,000 and make up this kind of play structure opportunity somewhere else?
Partially because they don't recognize that this would be...
I'm just trying to understand.
So...
The city would have... This is background. It's very unusual for there to be provision of public parking space on private lands. That's a bit of an inherent problem in itself. Typically, that the city would either swap properties or, as in this case, the developer didn't purchase the Troy Todd lot from the city, so, and then agreed to put a, you know, build a park on their privately owned land. Typically, the park would be owned by the city of Winnipeg because it is a public good and it's better in the hands of the city.
Right. There's a liability issue.
Sure.
So where is it proposed they're going to, like, what is the closest park to this? Like, where?
I'm not sure. They haven't.
They're not saying. They're just saying.
They're just saying.
This is our position. Okay.
The expectation was that a park is going to go here. Instead of the park, two buildings have been constructed on that land zone for that purpose. So it's off the table.
Isn't the expectation of those people who already bought existing condos that there's going to be a play structure and stuff there for their kids?
Councillor Eady, just from my vantage point, this is sort of an issue of an unanticipated loss of green space in the neighborhood, which was, initially understood by the city of Winnipeg to have been agreed upon between the applicant and the city. So I guess one way that we can look at it is, and I can ask this question of the administration, a similar size lot within the city to acquire such a value, what are we talking about, $180,000 to $200,000, something that magnitude? And then to build such a playground based on the plan that we received, I guess, as part of the original zoning agreement was about $90,000, $90,000 to $100,000. And the other landscaping amenities would probably be, I guess, between $90,000 to $100,000. So we're looking at approximately a total loss of value in excess of $350,000. That's the way I see it. Right now, we have $100,000 that we retained.
Plus, we got consideration for the old park. Right? Did we not get money for the old?
Did we?
Well, the developer purchased that park. It was declared surplus and sold to the developer, and then a back lane. I think they both equated to about $70,000.
Right, that's part of the development.
Yeah.
So we're looking at possibly, we're looking to bridge this gap of $350,000. We've got $100,000 from the applicant. I'd like to make a motion considering to bridge the total loss of $350,000 with the $100,000. So we're looking to acquire additional dollars of $250,000. And we can ask the director of planning and development to request that of the developer.
Motion on the table?
Well, yeah, I prepared a motion, so I can read it into the record.
Councilor Sharma is in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Councilor Sharma, I can read this motion. That we can discuss.
Does he not get to come and rebut?
Well.
No.
Yeah.
Before my motion or after?
Well,
we can
state your intentions, maybe, because that's not what was part of the record as it was published, so he's not.
You can state your intentions and we can rebut.
Yeah, I stated it, basically. I'm okay with the administrative recommendation, the way it is. I mean, there's already buildings on there. They've been built. Fortunately, it didn't meet the original intent. So we're looking at dealing with an issue specifically for the unanticipated loss of green space.
Okay, shall we call the applicant back up,
yeah.
Madam Chair?
Well, you've indicated that. I think that he doesn't know that that's before the committee right now, and I'm just, this may even be a separate motion from the public hearing as well.
Because that's not the matter to him.
Because
matter
what's before,
zoning right now.
Yeah, what's before the committee at the moment is the zoning agreement amendment. The amendment to
And from what I heard, Madam Chair, is that the applicant, there wasn't any opposition to the administrative report, mm-hmm. other than with some background information. My point here is today is that we have a situation where we're dealing with an unanticipated loss of a green space, and how do we rectify that?
Oh, I mean, what's before the committee is an amendment to the zoning agreement. I'd have to ask to the Winnipeg Public Service if there's any conditions that are related to what Councillor Pachacan is referencing.
Let me just, can I confirm something, though? So, because I can't see the image in the report itself, but the whole piece that was designated as park is going to be rezoned multifamily small. Like the whole piece along Chamberlain there. Okay.
What was parcel B, where the privately owned, publicly accessible park was going to go?
Yeah, that's all.
That's all just being rezoned.
So if they wanted, they can build more family units there if they want. Right?
Technically, but.
Because we're rezoning, rezoning the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're recommending a cap on the number of units to be 200, so.
And how many units are there now?
I think there's either 192 or 200. Mm-hmm. 8 extra units.
Noah, is there a clause that relates to Councillor Pachacan's motion?
No, there's not.
Did you hear that? There's no clause that relates to the motion.
What's before the committee is the amendment to the zoning agreement that was adopted in relation
to civic property.
Yeah.
Yes.
In relation to DAS 33 of 2007.
And you know what? And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the rate of recognition that's coming forward.
Yeah. I have a question.
Hold on, Councillor Eaton. I'm just saying that there was supposed to be a park. I mean, I hear the applicant saying there's going to be a park. And that they can make good, but you know what? There's a building there now. There's two buildings there now. That's unanticipated loss of park. Unfortunately, it's having a detrimental. It'll have a detrimental effect on the neighborhood. So we can use these kinds of dollars elsewhere to help augment some of the green space requirements throughout Point Douglas. So this is what I'm looking at. It's purely political.
Shall we call the applicant back up?
I was wondering, can I just...
You can have a look at that.
Thanks.
Where is the slip? Is this person here?
I have to slide through all those names.
So who are we calling back up?
Well, the applicant is the only one that can come back and rebuttal.
There's two of them, they say applicant. Jeff?
Yep.
So we'll call the applicant back up. Jeff? Sweeney?
Chris now.
Sorry, I've handed over the chair to Councillor Sharma.
These aren't the slips.
Yeah. Is there Mr. Chris Snellgrove here?
Yeah. And that's the only option.
Yeah. Finally,
dude. Oh, okay.
Is there somebody acting on behalf of Mr. Snellgrove?
I'll act on behalf.
Mr. Andrew Marquez?
Right.
Did he already speak?
Okay, Mr. Marquez, you'll have an opportunity to rebut, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Jasper will come, so he knows what to...
Yep. I can just add it in.
Yeah, look at our service agreement clause.
So that's the rezoning.
Yeah. Well, he's going to do the service agreement.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's regarding the DAZ, not the ZAA.
That's right.
Right. Okay.
So, Mr. Marquez, what's happening here, I guess, is that with respect to the two reports that we're hearing here today, it sounds like we're okay moving forward on that. But the issue here is to deal with unanticipated loss of green space. in the neighborhood. So I'm trying to quantify that with respect to a similar size parcel of land, valuing that at about 195 to 200,000, plus a playground of approximately 90,000, and other landscaping features of 90,000 or so. We're looking at a total loss of value in excess of 350. We have $100,000 already from you, so we're looking at a bridge or a delta of $250,000. And I'm looking at putting that into the ACG
servicing. Yeah, and that pertains to the DAZ,
okay.
Not the ZAA.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're dealing with them together, correct?
It's a combined hearing.
Mm-hmm. So can I, well, it needs to rebut, but I have a question to ask.
Sure. Councilor Eady.
Applicant, or the applicant's representative. How many units are built now that there's two extra are being put there? How many units do you actually have on for the whole agreement that you had?
Yeah, I think it's 340 units in total in the project.
I heard reference to 200. So.
Yes. I'm not sure how that's sliced in amongst the complete project, but I think it would be correct to say that there was the 8 extra units. So if it's 192 to 200, that math would be correct. There was, they say there's buildings. It was an extension of the building into part of the area that was the PR1. It wasn't a separate building onto itself that was put into the park area.
Okay, thanks.
So just so I understand, Councillor Pactahan, you're putting forward the motion that there needs to be a delta of the $250,000 roughly to see this application move forward. Is that essentially the...
That's pretty accurate.
So I guess just a couple things from my mind. If we're looking at trying to understand a transaction for where we started to where we got to. So if I understand your total value is $350,000, we previously did purchase some land, which would be consideration, and I'm not sure what that number is today. That was a while ago. So I guess the question is, does that original cash that would have been used to purchase, is that part of that delta calculation that you'd be looking at, or that money is not part of it?
For the development, yeah. No, in my mind, it's a separation.
Well, you know, here's in reality what happened when we purchased the project. There was a space that was full of whether it was gopher holes or it was not kept up, and I don't think the city itself would ever feel comfortable of saying that it was a park that has been kept up to any type of city park standards. It was a bare piece of dirt with maybe, I'm unsure whether there was a swing set in there or not, but essentially it was, and on the south boundary of it was where the whole neighborhood had dumped their garbage. So in our proposal, and we're still moving forward in this, is we are providing space and we are providing playground equipment and amenities and for the residents of that particular complex. Certainly if someone comes from across the street, we never change the access on Chamberlain. You know, if some kids came over and played on the structure that we provided, it's certainly accessible to the public. I mean, you know, we certainly aren't going to have a fence there that would stop anyone from coming in. So no matter where we go with this on a go-forward basis, that structure will be there, these amenities will be there. I mean, it was in discussions with the administration, it was decided that this would be a private space rather than a private space with public access. And that was where the $100,000 comes into it. I do think, though, that if you look at a loss of space, I think it's maybe not totally fair that you would disregard the money that was used, because if you're looking at it in its totality, that money was used to buy that bare piece of dirt, which could be put towards as the $100,000 or whatever the delta is on a go-forward basis. That's all I would say. And most importantly, there will still be a park structure. We're not walking away from a park structure. I mean, we will provide a park structure. So I'm curious, how do we, this is kind of news to me, delta issue.
Yeah, we will, we're going to make a decision on this tonight. We'll make a recommendation on this tonight, and we'll proceed on to, I understand,
property
development, executive policy, and on to council for a final decision. So we appreciate your input on this. We hear what you have to say, so as a committee and our administration, and we'll take it under advisement.
If I could just take this opportunity to ask as a process, so nothing is decided tonight, there'll be further this?
There'll be a recommendation towards the Standing Policy Committee on
Property and Development.
Correct.
And EPC. And then it goes to EPC, and then it goes to Council. However, representations conclude at the public hearing.
Yeah. Okay.
So after the representations are concluded here, there won't be any further opportunity for representation.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Ready for motions?
Yeah.
So first off is the ZAA. Which is public hearing number 2.
Page 3.
Madam Chair, I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll move the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.